Well, it's been a week here at Totally Rad Christmas. We've had the passing of two legends that that meant a lot to us. We have Dolly Parton, who we're going to be talking a lot about, and Tim Curry, who also meant a lot to me personally. I knew him from so many things. I could talk about him and dedicate a whole episode to him as well. But tonight, I really want to focus more on Dolly Parton, her contributions, her music, her movies. And I'm going to have a bunch of guests join. They're going to be in and out. Starting off, I have Ken Kessler from Sounds of Christmas and Scott Leopold from Holly Jolly Xmasu. How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay. It's like you said, it's been a week.
It really has.
Yeah, a lot to digest this week.
Yeah.
I agree. A lot of, we knew she was sick, right? Because she canceled that last performance and... for health reasons, so we knew something was up, but it seems like it still came on suddenly. Like, I just was not expecting this at all.
Yeah, it was like just a day or two before she had posted a health update, and it seemed like she was turning the corner and getting better, and she, in some interview, she had talked about how she's not going anywhere because there's so many things she still wants to do.
Right. Well, she'll probably find a way to do them.
If anybody could, it would be Dolly.
That's right. So why don't we start off? What's your experience with Dolly Parton? What do you remember about her movies, her music, anything in general? And we can focus on Christmas music as well. And why don't we start with you, Ken?
Well, for me, it's all about the Christmas music. I did an episode just focused on the Christmas music that came out just after I got the news, and that's mostly what I know her from. I mean, of course, Nine to Five. We all know that, and maybe Rhinestone, and there are a bunch of movies that. And appearances and Dollywood and all kinds of things. Her imagination library, given books to kids. She was incredible. The Christmas music, I didn't realize that she was on Emmylou Harris's Christmas album, Light in the Stable, that came out in the mid-70s, that she and Linda Ronstadt were backing vocalist for that. I had no idea until I started digging in about this, and because I thought her first Christmas music was the album she did with Kenny Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
But she also had Hard Candy Christmas that came out before that.
Right. Yeah, she sure did.
And there's just so much. And one of the things that I thought was just terrific was she had three Christmas albums, and for each one she had a TV special on network television, and each one it was on a different network. And I thought, that's terrific, and that's so Dolly. It just spread it all around.
Yeah, for sure. And CJ has joined us as well. CJ Belanger, how are you doing, man?
What's up, man? You try to get my name right every time, but
I try, and I'm sorry. I'm just one of these days I'm just gonna roll the R's and just forget it, you know. How are you doing?
No, it's just, you know, it's Belanger, but it's okay. No, good, man. I'm happy to be here talking about Dolly, and obviously shitty circumstances, but you know, she lived a good life, a full life, a very positive life. Some people considered her an angel on earth. I'm one of those people. I don't think you can ever find anybody that had a bad thing to say about Dolly. And, you know, grew up on her Christmas album, grew up on her music. My mom is a huge fan. She's devastated. But, my earliest Christmas memories are hearing the Kenny and Dolly album. And, you know, Christmas to Remember, obviously Hard Candy Christmas, Greatest Gift of All. I remember being in school one year, And we were in the choir, and one of the songs they were doing was Greatest Gift of All. And you remember when we'd have the lyrics in front of us?
Yeah.
We'd have them on a sheet, and I'm like, man, I don't need these. I know this entire album, like, off by heart. So I was, like, so stoked to do that song, man. And, yeah, it's a big loss to the world. It's sad, man. It's really sad. I was hoping this, like, you know, she was going to start some kind of tour again, and then she was going to adjust it. And I knew when she was having health problems, I couldn't fathom that she'd pass away, but I didn't think she'd ever hit that tour. But I thought she had some time left with us, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think we all did. What about you, Scott?
We were never like, or at least my parents were never like big country fans, but, you know, we knew Dolly, we liked Dolly. And then, you know, 9 to 5 came out, and how can you not be a massive fan after that?
Yeah.
I have no idea how many times we saw it in the theater, and then it hit cable. We watched it over and over again. And as far as her Christmas output goes, the album with Kenny, Hard Candy Christmas, those are just, you can't top them. And my older girls, when they were little, Hard Candy Christmas was far and away their favorite Christmas song. So, you know, she gets a lot of airplay around here around Christmas time. Yeah, and I didn't even hear about her health issues. So when I saw the stories popping up that she had passed away, I didn't even think it was real at first. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, isn't that... And that kind of is sad about the state of the world. Like, a lot of times it's like, wait, is this like a trick, or is this AI playing jokes on us or something? And sometimes,
yeah, it's pretty messed up that, like, when you hear someone passes away, you automatically go to TMZ, because TMZ will not right. run something unless it is 100% factual.
Right.
So, you know, when once you open up that TMZ and you see, and I hate the way they word it. I don't know if it's an American thing. I'm not dogging on you guys, but when somebody dies, they're like, oh, so-and-so dead at 80. Like, can't you just say, like, yeah. so-and-so passes at, like, dead seems so, like,
I know.
Harsh.
My oldest. No, I totally get it. My oldest, we were talking about, he said, well, you know, Dolly, or she asked me, why are you sad or something? And I said, well, Dolly Parton. And that's all I said. She's like, oh, yeah, she's dead. And it was just like, well, okay, don't say it like that. Say like she passed away. Say, you know,
or she died.
I get it. She's 14, you know, or she died. Even she died sounds better than dead. It just sounds so harsh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and she did so much for the world. Like, what do you, like, come on, put some respect on her name.
Look what she did for the world. Even the president of the United States, like, the flags are being, brought down to half mast. Like, that's really, that's when you know you've done something in this world, you know what I mean? And Dolly went out of her way to, like, not be a political person. If you've seen her interviews, she says, I'm just an entertainer and I don't want to get into that. You can call that, like, shying away from it, but, you know, she wanted to keep all her fans and you know what I mean? She had so many, and she was so beloved over, like, decades and decades. There's people that have been dead 40 years that were fans of Dolly when they were in their 80s. Like, you know what I mean? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She's really taken over, like, a lot of decades, and she'll be remembered more decades to come. That's for sure. Because somebody like that has a lasting impression. She'll be like an Elvis, maybe even, I would argue, maybe even bigger than Elvis. Like, Michael Jackson, you know, Michael Jackson in death, I feel like, is even bigger now. But I just hope that everybody still continues to enjoy her. And I love hearing the stories that I didn't even know about. Like, through her death now, you're seeing so many different things that she did, how many people she helped. And, you know, she could have been a billionaire, but she kind of chose to invest in her community, into children, into different things, you know. And they don't make them like Dolly anymore. She's a true farm girl that struck it rich and never changed. Well, her appearance changed, but never
well, her heart. I mean, you know.
Yeah, like, it was a bad joke to make, but I was thinking it to myself, like, the yesterday. I was like, I think Dolly Parton was like the first pair of boobs that I ever wanted to see. It's so crude. It's so like disgusting, but it was true.
Well, we know Kenny Rogers wanted to see them. I mean, it feels like.
Yeah.
Based on their chemistry.
I always go back and forth. I always go back and forth with my mom. I'm like, you think they did it? She's like, I think so. I'm like, they had to have, right? But they were both married, so who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. But I will say that that album with Kenny Rogers, that Christmas album, the song Winter Wonderland, it's like a medley. It's yes. Sleigh Ride and Winter Wonderland. I remember that was the second track on the Time Life Treasury of Christmas. So I know that song.
Oh, wow.
Like so well, even better than like some of the other hits on that song, on that album, you know, the Greatest Gift of All. And
that's funny because I think it's actually the second song on the actual Kenny and Dolly Once Upon a Christmas album too. Yeah,
it might be. That was just a really good Christmas album. Like Dolly Parton's original songs were pretty fantastic, and I gotta say, I don't think she gets enough credit as a songwriter. Like, people just think they know. I mean, you know, they know I Will Always Love You, and that's about it. Like, she wrote a lot of just great songs. Now, were they all, like, bangers? Well, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them were. And I feel like I really do think she's kind of underrated as a songwriter.
I think one of my favorite songs by her is, it's a pretty popular one, but doesn't get enough credit, is Here You Come Again. It's like the one that says, Here You Come Again. You got it. Like, it's such a good song, and like my mom used to listen to it all the time because, like, in her relationship with my dad when I was young, it was very back and forth and quite toxic. And it was, she'd always listen to it when he left, so it was kind of like one of those things where I knew where her mindset was at. It wasn't always the most fun time, but I still love hearing that song. And obviously, Islands in the Stream. Like, I just watched.
Yeah, I mean, that's a
on
classic,
YouTube.
Right?
Just like, I make it a point, like, a couple times a year to watch their last performance together singing that, and I still cry when I see it. And now, I mean, I'm not sure what I believe in, but there, I take some kind of peace in my head, hoping that her and Kenny are reunited and her and her family, things like that. But they were a hell of a duo, man, and now that they're gone, it's so friggin' sad.
The outpouring of emotion and praise for her has been unlike anything I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Artists from every genre you can think of. I saw Eminem posted. You see that? Posted a letter that Dolly had sent him after he got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's just amazing how kind and generous she was.
Mm-hmm.
That. Because after I saw that one, I saw so many other artists posting little notes that she had sent them, whether she got to perform with them or she got to meet them, or that she didn't quite get to meet them, but she wished she had, that kind of thing. It's just, it is just amazing. And I saw a clip with Sylvester Stallone when they were doing Rhinestone, that when she got there, she took the time to meet everybody on the crew.
Wow.
So that they were all in it together, and she wanted to meet and know everybody, and it really opened his eyes because they are all in it together. We're making this movie together. But it's just amazing. And I have seen so many people post that their kids got a book from her the day she died.
Oh,
it just happened to come. And somebody had posted that their 7-year-old was sad, and they asked why, and they said Dolly Parton, and they said, did you know who she was? And he said, well, not really, but she sent me books.
Wow. Yeah. That's sweet. Yeah. Although I do have to say, whoever thought Sylvester Stallone was going to be a good country singer in that movie, I mean, come on.
Come on. But Drunkenstein, come on.
Did you also hear the video he put out today when he was talking about when they went horse riding together?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, it was Sylvester Stallone, and he was talking about, I don't know if it was part of them being on set for that, but they were a certain type of horse. I forget the name of them, but they gallivant almost, like their hooves go high up. Anyway, they wanted them to go on, and Sylvester Stallone wasn't sure if she should go on because it was you're not supposed to double up, but they said it'd be fine. So anyway, it was gallivanting or whatever it does, and then it started to lean forward, and apparently Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton went ass over tea kettles and nearly got squashed by this horse. And he said she got right up and she said, okay, let's do it again. It's just like every story, like you just said, like every story you hear, I feel like she really made an effort to make everybody feel like they mattered and that they were seen. Mm-hmm. I think she really recognized her celebrity and wanted to make an impression on everybody she met, because how many times have we met a famous person and been like, oh man, like that was kind of
don't meet your heroes.
So much from them, you expect so much from them, but they don't owe you anything, right, in reality, right. But I feel like seeing Dolly interact with people, she wanted to give every person the absolute most of her, and I think like you said, the outpouring of love shows that, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm still sad, like my daughters were around yesterday when I called my mom when I heard the news, and like I didn't think they were gonna come to that particular room, but I was talking to my mom and I was obviously crying, and my kids have probably seen me cry maybe maximum 4 times in my life maybe, and I was in the kitchen, she's like, you're sad? I was like, yeah. I wasn't embarrassed to tell her, yeah, I'm sad. I really cared about Dolly. I like Dolly, she is a big part of my life. Like, I think anybody, any celebrity that's a part of your life, it's not bad. It's not bad to mourn them. You shouldn't feel ashamed. So I didn't mind them seeing me cry at that moment. And I'm going to miss Dolly till I die for sure. But, you know, we still have her music, and like the way she touched the world, man, she's special. She's very special.
So the Once Upon a Christmas album, let's talk about that album for a little bit. So again, cool. With Kenny Rogers, there's a bunch of songs that that she wrote. Well, not a bunch, but several songs that she herself wrote on it. And I got to say, out of all of them, Once Upon a Christmas was a really, really, really good one. I love that one. You know, it tells the story of the nativity. But The Greatest Gift of All, now she didn't actually write that one, but the way she sings it with Kenny is just such a great duet.
Yeah, it's so good. It's really, really much a Christmas Eve song, I would say. Like, it's one of those songs you play on Christmas and Christmas Eve. It's fantastic. I really love on that album, I Believe in Santa Claus, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I love With Bells On.
Oh, With Bells On. Super catchy.
I'm so excited to get home, and I'll be home with bells on. And, like, it's just such a good song. Like, I love every song. If I had to choose my least favorite, it'd probably be, I don't know, like, Once Upon a Christmas. It seemed a little scary when I was younger. The opening,
it does.
Opening beat seemed a little ominous, but
very atmospheric.
Everything about that album. Since I was a kid, man, that was what was playing when we were decorating the tree on repeat, like back to back to back to back to back. And my kids grew up on it too. They did the same thing. But such a good album. But yeah, With Bells On and Winter Wonderland, like just A Christmas to Remember. Is a really good one.
It's very just an upbeat, fun, you know, toe-tapping kind of song, honestly.
Yeah. Now, see, one of the local stations around here, this was a few years ago, people started posting on their Facebook page saying, you know, that's enough of Kenny and Dolly, Winter Wonderland. I'm like, how can you not like that?
Yeah, I know, that's a little bit of BS, man. I'd be pissed.
Let's see, she wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the songs. So half of the album was her composition.
Yeah.
And we covered that on your podcast, too.
We did a special. Like that. Yeah. Ken, you talked about how there was a special for every single Christmas album she released.
Right.
CJ and I talked about that one back in season 2, I think. It was a long time ago. And
yeah.
The special was okay. The album was great. You know, there was some choices. I don't know if you remember those weird elf looking things, CJ, but
yes. I probably watched that on, cause I have YouTube Premium. So I just kind of at night, sometimes if I can't sleep, I'll throw it on as background and just to kind of watch it. But they have like the song Christmas Without You, but mm-hmm. on the album, it's more like, it's more of an upbeat kind of like song, but they have in the video, in the actual special, it opens up as a ballad. And they don't have a CD version of that. And I really love the ballad part. And I listened to it yesterday and it kind of hit me harder because the song's called Christmas Without You and it's going to be the first Christmas without Dolly. So just made me really freaking sad, man. Just makes me sad now, but such a good song.
I bet that song is going to get a lot of airplay this December.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, that sounds like a good bet.
Yeah. I really hope this album gets reborn in like the mainstream this year with Dolly passing. I think that'd be really fun because it's so good. And I find it's like in different parts of the world, everybody's heard of it. And then other parts of like Canada and here, like not a lot of people have heard of it out here. And then when I put them onto it, they're like, oh my God, it's fantastic. I can't believe I didn't know this existed. I'm like, hell yeah, man. This is the best Christmas album for me, period. Well, except, you know, Michael Bublé, the Canadian, but you know.
Michael Boobs. There's two versions of that, right? There was the original, and then there was like where they re-released it and they took off like Kenny's solo and they put Hard Candy Christmas on it, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, so there's something like that, because there was a couple, the earlier ones didn't have Hard Candy Christmas, then they added it after, I think, when they kind of came out the CD. I don't know, I could be wrong, I could be conflating memories, but yeah, you're right. Hard Candy Christmas wasn't always on there, and people assumed that it was just a part of that, but no, like he had said before, it came out long before this album, and I believe it came out in the 70s, did it not?
I think it did, yeah.
It came out a couple years before this album. It was in Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and you can find that video on YouTube. So yeah, it came out a year before then, because I believe this album came out in 83. So I thought it was the late 70s it came out in, but yeah.
Yeah, this was 84. So
released was it 84?
October 29th, 1984. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. 2 years before. But Jerry's got the.
I have it here so we can, you know, I can double check myself. But it's a fantastic album. The one that she released in 1990 that she also had a special on that we just recorded on, CJ, was Home for Christmas. That special's trippy. It's great. It's just a simple, like, she literally goes to visit her family and she's like singing with her sisters and just, you know, here, we're going to walk through the town. And of course, it's all stage. It's not really like just a camera with her and the family. But at the same time, you kind of feel like, I bet that's exactly what they really are like together. You know, her brother probably makes fun of her while singing a song. And
they're a huge family, man. Those parents got busy.
I guess there was nothing else to do back then.
12 kids or something like that.
Got to keep warm.
Yeah. Friction helps, I guess.
In the Appalachian.
We also covered her movie, too. What was it called again?
Smoky Mountain Christmas.
It was terrible, but it was fun.
It was terrible, yeah. it's like Snow White meets like backwoods country.
With the Jezebel.
With mountain magic. Did y'all ever see a Smoky Mountain Christmas, Cannon Scott?
I did, but it was, you know, back in the 80s. I don't remember much from it. I thought it was cool that her Holly Dolly Christmas album that came out a few years ago, that song finally was released.
Mm-hmm.
But even hearing it on that, I'm like, this doesn't spark any memory. I wonder if I'm protecting myself by not remembering that.
I tried watching it a few years ago, and it's when my insomnia was like really bad. I know I watched it.
Yeah,
that's all
honestly,
I can say.
It wouldn't have helped. It would have felt almost like a fever dream too. So
yeah, there was some weird. I mean, there really was some weird things. Like there's a mountain magic. There's like a lady God. that I don't know, the town Jezebel, and I think that was actually her name, right? Jezebel, and
something like that.
She tries to like poison Dolly with an apple pie, and I mean it's literally like Snow White.
Yeah, basically
at the end there. But the songs, you're right, Ken. The songs, they released like three of them. I'd like to spend Christmas with Santa, I think, Smoky Mountain Christmas, and Wrapped Up in You. And Wrapped Up in You is like has become one of my favorite Christmas songs now. Just I added it to my 80s Christmas Blast playlist, which is now about 40 hours long. You know, just 80s music. And I gotta say, it's up at the top.
So it's funny that he brought up the Holly Dolly Christmas. I was really excited for it. I listened to it. I liked it, but you could tell, obviously, Dolly was very much losing her voice by that time. Like she didn't have the same voice, and you could tell it was a bit weaker, but I still enjoyed it. But it still made me a little sad in 2020, because it's like watching an icon fall. Like, you know what I mean? And she did the best with it, though. Her rendition of Silent Night was still really sweet on that album. Mm-hmm. And they did have Smoky Mountain Christmas on that. And I enjoyed it for the most part, but it's still
one of the things. One of the things that I thought that was really cool about Holly Dolly Christmas, and I know there are going to be some people who hear this and go, oh, it's just commercialism, marketing, blah, blah, blah. But for her fans, there was a cassette of it with an extra song, and there was an 8-track that was made with an extra song. And these aren't for everybody, but if you were a big fan, that was kind of cool. Now, they re-released Holly Dolly Christmas two more times with extra stuff. So those bonus songs from the cassette and the 8-track wound up on the, I think it was the second deluxe edition. So if you can't find those now and you're just hearing about them, you can stream those songs with everything else. On the Ultimate Deluxe Edition, that was the second go-round that added even more stuff.
I was going to say, or just wait for the next re-release.
Well, they might now. I mean, they probably could. Now, joining us now is Anthony Caruso from Tis a Podcast. Anthony, how are you doing?
I'm great. Sorry I'm late, Jerry.
Oh, that's okay, man. That's okay. This is a come-and-go thing anyway, so it's all good.
It's not okay, Anthony. Go to hell.
I've been there, thank you. I find it quite lovely.
You're in there now. You're in Florida, buddy.
I'm telling you, the heat this year it's different. It feels hotter than and I've lived in Texas all my life. I've dealt with like 114 degree temperatures, but for some reason the heat this year feels hotter than it has in a long time.
Mm-hmm. You know what it is, Jerry? You're getting old. That's what it is.
That's probably true. Well, what about you, Anthony? What's your history? What do you remember about Dolly, especially her Christmas music, movies, things like that?
Well, first of all, I always thought Dolly would just live forever. I can't imagine a future without Dolly, but she's always been around. My mother was a huge fan of Dolly Parton. Well, is a huge fan of Dolly Parton, and so she was always part of the music in our household growing up, both during the Christmas season and out of the Christmas season. She was a fan of her movies. 9 to 5 is one of the greatest comedies of all time, in my opinion. And that song is wonderful, too. But her Christmas music, it's not Christmas without listening to Dolly. And this year's gonna... I am not looking forward to Christmas this year in the sense that we've lost so many people, from Dolly to Tim Curry to Catherine O'Hara. Like, it's gonna be so weird this year. But I mean, Dolly was a legend. Dolly was the best of us. Like, her music, her acting, just her philanthropy, like, she was the best to ever do it. And when I saw she died yesterday, I was literally had to walk away from my desk at work to cry.
Yeah, I feel like this, you're right, Ken. You talked about the outpouring of love. This is one that seems like it's hit people the hardest. And I think because she has touched so many lives with, you know, her different projects and funding different things and just helping those in need, to her music being staples at Christmas time for everybody. I mean, I think this one really hits harder because of all that compared to some of the other celebrities that we've lost. I mean,
well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say how, you know, and I'm not, it's not to say anything political, but like, there is not one universally beloved figure by everyone, no matter your beliefs or political beliefs or everything, but like Dolly, like everyone, you know, far left, far right, middle of the road, like believe in nothing, believe in everything, everyone expressed remorse when Dolly died, and that just does not happen anymore for anyone. True. Like, she was something special, and she's probably the last person, sadly, we'll ever see that for, but I mean, she deserved it. She was such a light in this world that everyone latched onto.
Agreed.
And she collaborated with so many artists, so many genres. It would almost take less time to name the artists that she didn't work with.
That's probably true.
It's just amazing. And that's before the Rockstar album, her last album that came out, where there were so many. I mean, she did Beatles covers with the surviving Beatles. I mean, she's worked with everybody, and everybody is excited to work for her, with her. I saw a video that Sting posted that she did Every Breath You Take on the Rockstar album with him, and he said, you know, Dolly calls, absolutely, I'm there.
Yeah, and no so question. And so many of these tributes started out the same way, like from these celebrities and whoever, all these famous people who knew her. Like, they say never to meet your heroes, but Dolly is the person who is exactly as you'd picture her to be. And that's such a rarity in the industry. Like, but she never forgot her humble origins, where she came from. She always gave back, and she was always collaborative and kind, but also knew what she was worth and won't let people walk over her.
Right.
I think one of the things I liked about her, she was one of the funniest people ever as well. She has such a good sense of humor and was so self-deprecating.
Yes, she
like
was.
I mean, obviously her famous quote about it takes a lot of money to look this cheap, which is hilarious. But also, like, there was a time she entered that drag competition and lost to a Dolly Parton lookalike. Like, nobody knew she was a real Dolly. She loved that. Like, she was a good sport about everything. Like, she knew people made fun of the hair and the boobs and the rhinestones, and she just leaned into it.
Yeah.
Like, she was not the butt of the joke, she was in on the joke.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
She was so witty, too. She was witty. Her one-liners were hilarious. I was watching one of the clips today where she was performing and someone yelled out, "I love you," and she had a witty comeback that said, "I told you to wait in the trunk," or something like that. But she always seemed to have like a one-liner for everything that somebody said, and just so kind, man. Just so kind.
Yeah.
Well, she had this wonderful... I don't want to mess up the quote. I'm going to find it. Keep going.
Okay, well, I got to say, I just saw that clip, or a couple of clips of her, where she was saying how she wrote 9 to 5 and how she was just like rubbing her nails against them, each other, and it was kind of making like a clicking sound like a typewriter, and that kind of helped her write it. And so she actually is credited on the album as Nails by Dolly Parton. Because they,
oh my god,
that's part of the song. I thought that's amazing. I gotta, like, I need a credit like that somewhere, you know.
I was today years old when I found out in that song that clicking is not a typewriter, that's her nails.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Same, I thought it was a typewriter, but no. Yeah.
So she had, I'm sorry to interrupt, but she had this wonderful quote story on Jimmy Fallon, where she was talking about doing a project with Jennifer Aniston, and she said, "My husband is crazy about her. He was more excited that I was going to do a movie with her. Then he was, I think he kind of fantasizes like a threesome with us. He can't even get it out to pee, much less get it up for three." And oh my she just had Fallon cracking
oh
up.
Oh my god. I still can't imagine the words threesome coming out of Dolly Parton's mouth.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I still, it's still like a huge missed opportunity that her and Elvira never starred in a movie together. I know.
Freaky Friday with the two of them would have been
great.
That would have been a certified just Viagra without the pill for Anthony.
Well, and sorry, CJ, Jerry may need to edit this out, but I saw the funniest tweet. Somebody tweeted out, I just found out Dolly Parton died. Got to go rub one out in her honor.
Oh, gosh.
And so somebody replied to the tweet, no, this can't be how I found out that she died.
Oh, God. Oh, no. That's the worst.
Have you seen the, I know it's been going around again, the top 10 list that she did on Letterman?
Yeah, I didn't see it all.
So good that, and she was, I think, somewhere at Dollywood. And so the screen is split, and Dave's feeding her the numbers, and it's the top 10 pet peeves of Dolly Parton. And she was, and it was so good. She's so funny.
Her number one was amazing.
Yeah, her number one was, nobody ever even notices that I've got a great ass too.
Yeah, I did see that.
She always dressed amazing also. Yeah. So we've covered a couple of specials on the show, and every single one she has like just this perfectly form-fitting outfit. Sometimes it's like buffalo check or gingham or something, like just, you know, not nowadays we'd say like hideous, but back then, I mean, I'm sure they were styling for, especially for a country star, but it always just fit perfectly. And a lot of times they were, you know, they weren't low cut, they were up to her neck, and I mean, she protected her modesty but still showed enough of the curves.
It was kind of hard not to.
Well, you're right about that, but
flotation devices.
Let's talk about her second Christmas album, the one that came out in 1990, Home for Christmas. So there's a lot more traditional Christmas carols and songs on that one than there are on the other one with Kenny. So we have like the First Noel, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, I'll be home for Christmas. Yeah, Rudolph.
I love that cover.
Go Tell It on the Mountain, Little Drummer Boy, We Three Kings. I mean, it's like a mostly like traditional Christmas, you know, songs on that album. Like, what do y'all think about that one? Is that one also in like heavy rotation, or is it mostly like her Kenny album?
It should be. And like Anthony said, I'll be home for Christmas. You listen to that and you believe her. It's not just, she's not just singing a song. You believe it. But there's no originals on that.
No.
Mm-mm. Which I think that keeps it from getting a lot of airplay on the radio, because they've already got all these versions of Santa Claus is Coming to Town and I'll be home for Christmas. Right. And to squeeze in another one, it's tough. But like I was saying, for Holly Dolly Christmas with the collectibles, they made a CD for radio stations when this album came out that had songs, and it had Dolly doing behind the scenes, behind the music kind of thing, Christmas stories and stuff. And you might find those for collectors. Keep an eye on eBay, because I bet those are going to pop up now. But that was it was a promotional thing. But that album, I think it should have gotten a lot more notice, because I just feel like it was warmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that comes from the fact that it was traditional songs she was singing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, I know Dolly is an amazing songwriter, but, and maybe it's just me, but when it comes to Christmas, I like the traditional song. So to hear an album full of it, but in her angelic voice, like, I love this album more than some of the
album's
amazing original stuff she does.
The album's really good. I don't think it got the popularity the others did, obviously, because it wasn't originals, and I think it was only about 10 tracks, if I remember. And I remember it only being like half an hour long, so it was really short album. Not that that really matters, but I feel like when you have more originals, people tend to go to that one more, especially if they liked it prior to that. Like, I love listening to the classics, but there's so many people that have so many songs by, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of
there's only so
of
many,
Frosty,
like,
right?
The First Noel you can hear, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and people have their favorites already, and they kind of, like, are accustomed to just listening to that, so... And they all came out so much far before this. But can you think of anybody that's really redone a, like, you know, a Christmas classic that has really taken it over? I can only think of, like, Buble. But that's because he sounds like everybody from the 50s and 60s.
Josh Groban, too.
He had a couple good songs, yeah. But, like, as far as original sang by somebody else, like, more recently, I can't think of anybody that's kind of taken it over besides Buble.
Because, no, like, I agree with that.
Not that have been really big. But with the Sounds of Christmas, I get so many songs sent to me every year. And there are so many that sound phoned in. They did another version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town or Silver Bells or whatever. And that was probably a danger with the second album, the second Christmas album from Dolly. Mm. But it doesn't sound like it. Either she really enjoyed doing it or she's just really good and makes you think she did. Either way, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, so many of these that you hear today sound like, hey, I've got half an hour of studio time left. Let's knock out Jingle Bell Rock. But with this album from Dolly, it sounds like these were the songs she wanted to sing, that they meant something to her, mm-hmm. and she feels it, and she believes it. And you listen to them, and like I said, you listen to I'll Be Home for Christmas from that one, and it doesn't sound like she's just singing somebody else's song. It sounds like she believes it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get the magic in a Christmas album.
Yeah. You know who had a really good Christmas album that I like? Some people didn't, and she's a big fan of Dolly. It was Carrie Underwood's Christmas album. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. And there's somebody else that doesn't have a Christmas album that should. How the hell does Bruno Mars not have a Christmas album?
right?
I feel like he would really crush that genre. Like,
you're probably right there.
Or like an Ed Sheeran or something. Like, do a collab. I know he has a couple Christmas songs, but a Christmas album, I think he'd do really good.
You know
who really missed the mark for me?
Sabrina Carpenter Christmas album, CJ.
Oh, sure. But you know who really missed the mark for me, that I thought would really outdo himself, was John Legend. I think he had like two good ones on there, but for the most part, it just kind of fell flat for me. But anyway, I digress.
So I gotta say, the whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, you know, the fact that she didn't feel she was worthy enough to be there because she really hadn't done any rock and roll, and I get that. I mean, if you look at her corpus, there really wasn't a lot of, like, anything that you could really classify as, like, rock or rock and roll. But then she goes and records an album. I mean, she has a version of Purple Rain. Like, that's, you know, that's Dolly Parton singing Purple Rain. That's cool. I gotta say.
Have you heard Dwight Yoakam doing it?
No. Oh, I didn't know. No. He did it.
The album he put out, like, right after Prince died, he threw on a cover of Purple Rain. And it's something else.
Wow. Etta James did an amazing version of Purple Rain. Wow. Just absolutely. That's another singer that, you know, she believes what she's saying. Mm-hmm. And I know we're getting way off of the mark here, but
I would want to point out something about Dolly as well. Obviously, Whitney Houston popularized I Will Always Love You, which Dolly wrote and sang first. But Dolly never, like, begrudged her for it. She was always super excited and talked her up. Like, she was her biggest hype woman when mm-hmm. it came to that song. Like, she loved to share the wealth.
Well, like, I'm sure the royalties helped as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I mean, to her credit, like, she could have been a lot richer if she didn't donate so much of the money back. So, like,
it's true. That's true. Yep. Yeah, this one, this loss was a hard one, I think. You know, just so much, so many great things. I remember seeing her, of course, 9 to 5. She was in Steel Magnolias, you know, of course, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Just, you know, a bunch of things that she was good.
I've got to ask you, Jerry, was it Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin's tributes that got you more, like, compared to a lot of other celebrities? Because it got me, because I think associate her with 9 to 5.
I don't think I saw their tributes. Yeah. I saw mostly musical acts. What'd they say?
I mean, Jane Fonda wrote the whole same thing, yeah. But yeah, like, yeah.
Well, 9 to 5 really, I mean, she was already big, but like 9 to 5 also really, like, I don't know, broke her out. I mean, I hate to say that because she was already, it was more like crossover, right? It kind of crossed her over into a bigger audience,
yeah.
I feel like.
Well, and you couldn't get away from the song. I mean, when that came out, if you listen to, you know, Top 40, if you listen to country,
it was on both.
If you're in Kmart, you heard it playing all the time. Well, and once it hit cable, I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've watched that. I've probably seen that well over 100 times.
Man. I love that they waited till 9:05 last night to light up the Empire State Building in pink for her.
Well, yeah. someone actually suggested that, like, if May the 4th is Star Wars Day, they should do like September 25th, you know, 9:25 to be Dolly Parton Day. And I thought,
that'd be cool.
I'm down with that. Like that works for me, I think.
I think as a podcast network, we can do that unofficially ourselves. If no one
we probably could. I'll release start, a, yeah. some sort of Dolly Parton thing.
It's funny, man. I saw like a Dolly Parton fact today. Do you know her parents paid for her birth with like a sack of like oats or something like that?
Yeah.
Is something crazy. I was like, oh my God, I guess she really is 80 years old.
I mean, that's what you did when you lived on the mountain, right? I mean, you paid it,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You bartered and traded, and we saw some of that in Smoky Mountain Christmas for sure.
And that does seem on brand for her.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely. Yeah, it really does. So she also, in like 87, 88-ish, she had a show. I think it was just called Dolly. And it was like, sketch show, not so much comedy, but like they would do different sketches, and then sometimes they would just sit around and sing with different guests. Well, she had a Christmas episode, and we covered that one as well. And I think Burl Ives was on it. You know, just great. What's his name? Mac Davis. Mac Davis was on it, and they had a little sketch about how like. She was just moved into an apartment building, and he was down the hall, and they were singing some tunes on guitar, and you know, little things like that. Just stuff that's like she could do something like that and make it stand out. And I like that she did those. It was cool. It was good times. So I gotta say, this Christmas will be a little bit more melancholy without Dolly Parton in it, but her music will definitely give us all the vibes and the feels and the nostalgia of when we were little and we got to listen to it. So, guys,
I had heard that they lit up the Empire State Building pink and kind of glittery for Dolly. I wonder what they're going to do for Tim Curry.
There's just gonna be random clowns popping out.
I was about to say red and yellow for Pennywise.
I just figured it'd be a pair of big red lips.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I told Ken
you're gonna just see red balloons released across the world.
Before we started recording, I told Ken, "Is it bad that my first thought was?" When I found out, well, after like, no, my first thought was a quote from Clue when he gets shot by Mr. Green. He's like, good shot, Green.
Very good.
Very good.
One plus two plus two plus one.
Yeah, I think to lose such giants in their field, like back to back, is definitely, this week is definitely. I mean, I know they come in threes, so it's like, I don't know if I can take the third one, whoever it is, but...
I know, people were saying Carol Burnett should stay inside.
Oh, no.
Well, see, and with Tim Curry, I was honestly more upset about Tim Curry, just because just, you know, the music from Rocky Horror and some of the other stuff he's done has been like a real bonding thing for me and my daughters. So, yeah, when I saw that, it just, you know, it was kind of devastating.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was talking to Jerry before we really got started about that. And my wife had said how Rocky Horror put Tim Curry really on the map. If it hadn't been for that, what would he have been? And I said, he would have been a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing that. One of my friends on Facebook had posted what they remember most is going to see him perform at some small venue in California after Rocky Horror, which was a flop at the box office. Mm-hmm. And he had recorded, I think, two or three albums in the 70s, and he was touring. I would love to have seen that. I was only like 10, but... Yeah, I think absolutely. If acting didn't work out, he would have been a rock star.
I bet he was a great showman too, right? I mean, like he probably was a great front man.
As a Batman fan, I also must mention that he was originally cast as a Joker in the animated series. But was deemed too scary.
They thought he was too scary.
Well, see, and the first thing that I really became aware of him in was Annie.
And, yeah, great at Annie.
You know, I being a young kid in the early 80s, that wasn't the sort of movie I'd want to particularly go to.
Yeah.
But him as Rooster, he just captivated me. Yeah. So, and I'd seen I'd seen pictures of Dr. Frankenfurter prior to that, but it wasn't until years later when they showed it on MTV that I finally, you know, had a better idea of who he was. So.
There's a picture of him and Dolly together that I've been seeing around on the internet, and I don't know if that's like AI or like Photoshopped or if it's real, but a great pair that we lost.
I'll look it up right now.
It's hard to tell because she knew everyone.
Well, I know, that's why I'm like maybe it was like at some sort of movie award show that and it was true, or I don't know, but.
Is it them from the 90s? Looks.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I didn't do enough research to find out if it was real or not. And again, it's kind of sad where, like, we're not sure if it's actually AI or not. But, you know, that's just how it is nowadays. Probably was.
Yeah. Let's not forget Home Alone, Tim Curry. Fantastic.
Oh, man. His smile when... Like
with the Grinch transition,
the store wouldn't take your stolen credit card. Let's see what the police have to say about this.
We love you.
Yeah.
Well, and then Psych and Monk.
Psych. Oh, I loved him on Psych.
He was great in both of those.
Yep.
The Worst Witch.
Legend. You know,
Muppet Treasure Island. Legend.
Muppet Treasure Island. He was good in. I mean,
where he went the complete opposite of Michael Caine and decided to become a Muppet himself.
Did you see the official Muppets account, social media account, posting their tribute to him?
Yeah, and they posted one to Dolly yesterday. Yeah, some people were like, "Can somebody check on the Muppets? Like everyone's grieving, but can someone check on them?"
Yeah.
They said about Tim Curry that. He was one of the few that they would grant the honorary title of Human Muppet to.
Wow.
And I thought, wow. And I would agree.
He was. He really was. Yeah, for sure. Oh, man. Well, I know that we can continue to enjoy their art and both of them. Dolly through her songs, Tim Curry through his movies, and so.
And hey, we have a new Dolly song to look forward to, 2046.
I saw that.
She recorded a new song. It's in a time capsule to be opened on her 100th birthday. She talked about that.
Wow. No, I didn't know that. That's super cool.
Yeah. And that's the real deal.
Yeah.
2040. So 20 years from now, huh?
Yep.
Oh, shit. Okay. I'll be dead, I think.
I know. It's like
60? I could maybe make 60. We'll see.
I better knock on wood for sure. But
what are you, like 45?
46.
Oh, well, yeah, you'll be retired, Jared.
You might be dead too. I don't know.
You never can tell.
So. Nah, you'll be alive. You're slim. You look like you have impeccable blood pressure.
That's a little high. High blood pressure runs in the family. So,
well, then get it in check if you want to hear that fucking song. Oh, geez, I said the F word. God dang
it's
it.
Okay,
so
it's fine.
It's near the end of the episode. You can edit it out.
Oh, man. Well, any last minute thoughts on Dolly Parton and or Tim Curry as well?
You know, I had told somebody earlier today after we found out that Tim Curry had died that I'm sad, but I still think it's pretty cool that I was lucky enough to be here at the same time that Dolly Parton and Tim Curry were here. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
It's a good way to think of it. Yeah.
I would say they were two of a kind. Like they were both unique and masters in their field, and there won't be others like them. Dolly for sure, but Tim Curry too. He was a chameleon, and in a way that a lot of actors are not.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended, but Tim Curry was a dying breed of an actor and just a total overall showman. So rest in peace to him. And Dolly, we'll never forget Dolly, man. Nobody's ever going to forget Dolly. Dolly was Dolly was the best of us, man. Someone that we can only hope to be like.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And, you know, they say, a lot of people say character actor, like it's a bad thing, but Tim Curry proved it's not. He is the definition of a character actor. And if he was in a movie for 5 minutes, he stole the movie with those fights.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah.
Like in that, I love the scene I see of him. I forget what movie it's in. Was it like, what was it, Anthony, where he's like, what is it? Titties? Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
He's like, look at this on the screen. He's like, what is it? Titties? Just something like that. It was like,
that's Scary Movie 2. Scary Movie 2.
Scary Movie, right? Yeah. What is it? Titties? I'm going to send it to the group chat after. Oh, man. And one of my other favorite Tim Curry lines ever, because he literally looks like he's about to cry, is when Catherine O'Hara, rest in peace as well, slaps him in the face. And then he's just like, do bundle up. It's awfully cold outside. Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone 2 is going to be a hard watch this year.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'll still enjoy it. We'll get through the tears together, folks.
Yeah. Any last thoughts, Scott?
I have nothing else. It has been a long couple days.
Yes, it has. Yeah. Yes, it has. Well, no fun outro ending tonight. I just want to say, make sure you go listen to Sounds of Christmas, Rose Such a Gladder, Holly Jolly Xmasu, and Tis the Podcast. And you will find, in at least one of those, you will find something that you are direly in need of right now in the summer heat. So they're all great shows. And guys, thank you. This was I feel like I just needed to talk it out, and I'm glad I got the chance to do that. So thank you for that.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Jerry.
And I'll just say, I will always love you. Later, dudes.
Dolly.
Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. changed, but not my memories. And no matter where I am at Christmas, my heart is always home. Merry Christmas, everybody, and may God always bless you.